I want to start off by asking everyone here a question. Who here has made a decision or a choice today? Whatever type of choice or decision. We all have, right? Whether it be what clothes we wear, or what time we wake up, or what we ate for breakfast, or even the decision of being here this afternoon. But we also have made more unseen decisions, right? Or unseen choices. That is, how do I react when my children wake up very early in the morning? Or how do I react when there is a slow driver in front of me that might cause me to be late for work or even church? Or how do I react when my workmates don't agree with my faith? The point is that we all make decisions and choices. And that is what we'll be looking at this afternoon. That is, we'll be looking at what motivates and what causes us to make these decisions. We're going to be looking at our thought process, what our thinking is founded upon. But before we look at our text in detail, let's cast our thoughts back to what was taught in the book of Colossians 2 weeks ago. In the preceding verses, Paul was saying that if you truly say that you are united with Christ, then why does your life not reflect it? That is, why do you still live a worldly life now that you say that you are united with Christ? Paul was teaching them what they were doing wrong. He was telling them what they were not to do, essentially. But now that Paul has done this, he now moves on. Instead of telling them what they are doing wrong, he gives them godly instruction. And Paul starts this section on godly instruction by drawing their attention to their mindset. For indeed, the first thing that we need to get right if we want our life to be in line with God's will is our thinking. That's our mindset. For indeed, what we base our thought life on will determine not only our actions, but also how we make those actions, how we make the decisions that we do. So to help us track through this afternoon, we'll split our passage into two main points. The first one, we'll be looking at the command of a heavenly mindset in verses 1 and 2. And then we'll be looking at the reason of a heavenly mindset in verses 3 and 4. So let's take a look then at the command of a heavenly mindset. Let's read verse 1 of our passage together. What does it say? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So we can indeed see that there is a command in this verse, right? That we are to seek the things which are above. But before we look at the command, I want us to notice there in your Bible that there is somewhat of a condition or prerequisite to this command. That is, who is it that is to seek for heavenly things, to seek the things which are above? Is everyone called to do this? Is everyone able to do this? Notice there in your Bibles what it says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. So who is it to seek? It is those who have been raised with Christ. Paul has already talked about this idea back in chapter 2, verses 11 and 15. But in brief, the idea of being raised with Christ is that we are united with Christ both in his death and in his resurrection. He has given us a new life. And it is because of this new spiritual life that we can now seek heavenly things. For before we were united with Christ, we could not do so. That is, before our conversion, we could not seek the things of God because we were spiritually dead. As a corpse is unable to search and reach for a glass of water, so we, before we were united with Christ, could not seek or search for the things of God. We could not seek for heavenly things. And so this condition, or this prerequisite of seeking heavenly things, is critical. And we need to start here before looking at the actual command, for we need to understand that if you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not truly been raised with Christ, then you will not be able to have this lasting heavenly mindset. And so my first question is, can you truly say that you have been raised with Christ? Is this a reality for you? Is this a reality that you can hold on to and affirm? If not, then I implore you to consider these matters and to act on this with urgency. But if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have been raised with Him, then let our lives reflect this reality, which now leads us to looking at this command of a heavenly mindset. Let's read verse 1 again, then. What does it say? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So what is the command? It is to seek those things which are above. Above what? Is Paul writing from a basement and referring to something directly above him? No, not so. What's the text say? It says that we are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This is referring to heaven. Do we get that? We are to set our attention where Christ is. For it makes sense, for Paul has so labored in the past two chapters, that Christ is the preeminence of all things. He is the source of our life. He is the source of our faith. He is the source of all the truth that we ever need. He is the source of our sanctification. And so it only makes sense that we turn our attention to Him and where He is, and that is in heaven, sitting in the right hand of the Father. Where the right hand of God is referring to a place of honor and power, which only makes sense for Christ, who is the sustainer of all things. So we are to seek heavenly things, but what does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked, for we have the answer there in front of us. Let's read verse 2 of our passage together. What does it say? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So how are we to seek heavenly things? We are to do so by setting our minds on things above and not on things on the earth. That is the best way to stay focused and to live out our lives in agreement to God's will, is that our thinking is to be founded upon heaven and not earth. But so what does it mean? What does it mean that we must not set our mind on things on the earth? Is it that we must literally spend all our lives thinking nothing but God, heaven, and the Bible and nothing else? Not so. For if this was the case, then a Christian would not be able to do any task that involves any type of concentration. One could not be a doctor or a businessman or an engineer or a teacher. One could not be an efficient wife or husband or father or mother. For indeed, we need to concentrate on the matters at hand in order to be faithful with the duties that God has given us. But so what does it mean not to set our mind on earthly things? Let's first consider, what does it mean to set something on? If I were to ask you, what is your house set on? Hopefully you would say a strong foundation, a strong concrete foundation. That's what it's founded upon. Or if you were to ask me today, what is this sermon set on? I would say it's founded, it's set upon God's word. But if I were to ask you then again, what is your mindset founded on? What is it set on? What is the foundation of your thinking process? What drives your thoughts and desires? May I suggest that there's really only one of two options. That is, either our mindset is set on heavenly things, and that is pleasing God, or it is set on earthly things, and that is pleasing ourselves. There's really not any other option. And so we can summarize this idea of setting our mind on things above versus setting them on things on the earth by asking ourselves the question, Is our mind set on pleasing myself? Or is it set on pleasing God, and that is heavenly things? And if we think carefully on this, we can see that depending on how we answer that question, it will have a huge impact on how we live out our lives. That is, if we orientate our lives in a manner that we want to please God, then our actions and thoughts will follow suit. That is, when faced with a decision, may we ask ourselves, will I choose to please God in this situation, or will I choose to please myself? Will my mind be founded upon Christ, or will it be founded upon myself and my earthly desires? We need to remember that Christ is our God, not ourselves. We are to please Him and not us. He calls the shots. We do not. And so the question still stands, on what is our mind set? Is it set on pleasing ourselves and our earthly desires, an earthly mindset, or is it set on pleasing God? Is it set on heavenly things? I will leave you answer that question. But so we have looked at that there is indeed a command to have a heavenly mindset. That is, those who have been raised with Christ, those who have truly been united with Christ, it is not an option, but they are called to have a mindset that pleases God and not ourselves. And so now that we have looked at this command, this now brings us to our second main point, and that is the reason of having a heavenly mindset. That is, we know that if we are in Christ, then we are commanded to have a heavenly mindset. But why? Why must we do so? This makes me think of a young toddler. When you give them a command, for example, go tidy up your toys once you're finished. The command is straightforward, but then there is the why. Why must they do it? And the question is valid here also. We understand the command, but why should we obey? In the example of the toddler, as a father or as a mother, all you would have to do is say, because I told you so. And that would be enough. And God could tell us the same thing, and that would be very valid also. For who are we to question God, who is our spiritual father, who knows what is best for us? But here we have an answer to that why question with a bit more reasoning. Let's look there together in our Bibles at verse 3. What does it say? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do we see that? We are to have a heavenly mindset because, or in this case, for, you died and your life is hidden with Christ. So what does Paul say? He says that we are to have a heavenly mindset because we died. What does Paul mean? Is he writing to a whole bunch of dead people? Sounds a little bit morbid, right? But in a sense, he kind of is. For going back to verse 1, if we were raised with Christ, then this implies that we also died with Christ. For in order to be raised with Christ, we first need to have died with Him. And so as in verse 1, this is not referring to a physical death, but a spiritual one. That is the idea that our old self has been crucified with Christ. Our old self has died, and now we have been given a new life with Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul expresses this point beautifully. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Did we get that? Paul is saying that it is no longer him who lives. The old Paul has died, and the life that he now lives is not his own, but it is Christ who lives in him. We see this further expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, where it says, and He, referring to Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Do we see that? For who are we to live? Is it for ourselves? Certainly not. We are to live for Him who died and rose again for us. And so why are we to follow His command? We are to do so because the life that we live is not our own. This reminds me of the story of John Bunyan. Who is John Bunyan? He's most well known to be the author of the Pilgrim's Progress. But where did he write this masterpiece from? Was it from the comfort of his home, in front of the fireplace, thinking to himself, life is good right now, I'm going to write this book? Not so. He wrote it from the confines of prison. And why was he in prison, you may ask? He was in prison because he preached the word of God. The Church of England had banned him from preaching because he would not succumb to their unbiblical ways. He could have submitted and done something else, but he chose to live for Christ and not for himself. And so he preached the word of God, which resulted in him being imprisoned for 12 years. He was in prison for 12 years because he preached the word of God. But get this, after 12 years, he was released. And what did he do? He preached again. And you got it. After enjoying a couple years of freedom, he was sent straight back into prison. Yet for this time, a lot shorter period. But the point is that he knew whose life he was living. He was not living for himself, that was obvious. No, he was living for Christ because he knew that he had died to this life and that he had been raised with Christ, so he obeyed the commands that God had given him. And for him, that command was to preach the word of God. And so may this be a reminder and a challenge for us. For who are we living our life? If you truly believe that you have died with Christ, then does your life reflect it? But does your thoughts reflect it? Does your mindset reflect it? Are we willing to sacrifice not only our earthly comforts, but also our earthly thoughts and mind for the sake of obeying God? I do not need to list specifics here, but I will let you think and analyze your own life. Is your life characterized by a life that pleases God or a life that pleases oneself? And that brings us back to our question of why we should obey God. And we are to obey God because we have died and the life that we live is not ours, but Christ's. We are to obey God because Christ is the source of our life and not ourselves. Or as Paul puts it in the end of this verse, our life is hidden with Christ. We're hidden here can be seen in the sense of security, that now that we are in Christ, our life is indestructible and everlasting. No one can ever take us out of Christ, for we are hidden in Him. So why are we to obey God? We are to set our minds on earth, we are to set our mind on heavenly things and not on earthly things, because we have died and the life that we now live is not our own, but it is Christ's. And so our thinking is to reflect Him. But also we are to have a heavenly mindset, because there is the character of our hidden life in Christ. Now that our life is embedded with Christ, now that our life is hidden in Him, when people see us, they should not see our old character, for that old character has died. They shouldn't see our new character, which is hidden within Christ. They should see the character of Christ. And so this idea of being hidden with Christ should indeed bring us so much hope, because of this assurance of being hidden with Him. And we see another element of this hope in this last verse of our section. In verse 4, if you would please read it with me, it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Here Paul is talking about when Christ appears. This is referring to the second coming of Christ, when He will return just as He promised. When exactly? Nobody knows. But the point is that we know that He will return and will take us home to be with Him in glory. Surely we cannot ask for any better hope than that. And so may this hope of heaven, this hope of being revealed with Christ, motivate us to pursue a heavenly mindset. May we set our focus not on earthly things that will perish, such as pleasing ourselves, but may we turn our attention to heaven, where Christ is currently sitting, and where we will join him, and we will be revealed with him there in glory. May he be the focus of our thoughts. May he be the one that directs and motivates our minds and decisions and actions. And so indeed, we have looked at the command of a heavenly mindset. That is, we need to have a mindset that is set on pleasing God and not ourselves. A mindset that is set on heavenly things and not earthly things. And we have looked at the reason. And that is because the life that we live is not ours, but it is Christ's. But so may I ask us again, when you make a decision or a choice or a thought, what is it founded upon? For we all make decisions throughout the day. And may I challenge each one of us to ask ourselves, am I choosing this to please God or to please myself? For if our motive is driven to please ourselves, then our duties, our actions, though externally they may still appear to be acceptable, yet if they are carried out with the intention of pleasing ourselves, they will always be carried out with a selfish perspective. And so let us consider what our mind is set on pleasing when we make any type of decision or thought. For example, when the little ones do wake up at 5 a.m., do we choose to get angry to satisfy the sleep that we wanted, that we did not get? Or do we choose to please God in that moment and respond in a kind and gentle, loving and appropriate way? Or if your work situation is not going smoothly, do you respond in bitterness and frustration when you go home? Or do you respond and react in a loving way, in a way that you are ready to forgive? Not excusing the other person's wrong, but praying for them and wanting the best for them. Or maybe offended by a close family or a friend. Do you get bitter just to make yourself feel better? Or do you respond in praying for them again? Once again, not excusing their actions, but remembering what Christ has forgiven us. The point is that whatever situation we are going through, may we ask ourselves, am I doing or even thinking this to please myself or others? What is it that motivates me? Am I setting my mind on earthly things or on heavenly things? But please, remember that when you do this, we need to remember how it is possible that we can have a heavenly mindset. May we remember that it is only possible because we have been raised with Christ. It is only because of this that we can have a lasting heavenly mindset. The point is, it is not in your own strength. It is not in your own ability that we can do this. But it is only due to the fact that we are now in union with Christ, that we have a Spirit who lives in us that enables us to carry out God-glorifying choices. And so, when we ask ourselves whether we are pleasing ourselves or God, may we complete that thought with a thought of praise to God, who enables us to have and to make God-glorifying thoughts and decisions, to have a God-glorifying mindset. May we not get proud in our thinking, but may we give God the glory who enables us to have a lasting heavenly mindset. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we thank you for the clarity of it. Lord, you ask us to have a mindset that is set on pleasing you and not ourselves, Lord. Help us to transform our mindset, Lord, that it becomes more pleasing to you. Lord, we do confess that we so easily fall into the trap of pleasing ourselves, Lord. We fall into the trap of making ourselves a larger idol, a larger God than you, Lord. Lord, help us to analyze our lives, Lord, and look at our lives, Lord, and ask ourselves, do we live to please ourselves or you? Lord, help us to realize that this transformation is only possible through your Spirit. So, Lord, may we continue to commit our lives to you, to rest upon you, to commit our lives into your strength, Lord, into your life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.